I ain't sure where I'm going with this, but all right. First off, yesterday's opening day of duck season. We had a killer morning. I'm thankful for that. So I spent. I spent all the afternoon yesterday trying to figure a way that I can go just south of Rome and hunt a couple of hours this morning before church and still make it. Called my buddies. We had it all figured out. We was going to leave early. Get up there and leave at 9. Be back in time for church. So, last night, I don't know, about midnight, I'm still awake. And I'm like, man, they're leaving at 3 in the morning. I said, I'm not ever going to get up. So I text him. I was like, look, man, I'm going to have to pass. I won't never get up in time to go, and we'll just go tomorrow afternoon. And I talked to them about, I don't know, 9:30. They were still at the lake, so had I went, I wouldn't have made it to church. Me and Annie, between 27 and a railroad track. And I told her this morning, I said, I'm going to have to go to the ear doctor because my left ear has been just sizzling like a radio without a tune. And then when Leah got up and spoke, I looked at Annie and I just sat there. And I sat there and then I got up. But anyway, that's a long story of that. That wasn't weeks of prayer. I haven't been on my knees begging God to mess with my ear. That's him sitting in a car with me and my family on the way to church, just listening to what we've got to say to each other.
Amen. Amen. God wants to be so real to us. So real to us. Y'all turn in your Bibles to Genesis 35. Genesis 35, I want to come in and strengthen something the Lord spoke to me last week. We came in last week and we had a wonderful weekend, Lord, and I want to thank everybody for your heart in blessing us and encouraging us and honoring what God's done in our lives. And I just want to thank all you guys, man. Y'all are just tremendous, and we praise God for all of y'all and what y'all are to us. I want to tell you something. This, if you have the mindset, I don't need anybody and I can do this by myself, you will ultimately fail. You will ultimately fail. God brings people into our lives and they're His gift to us. And they're here to encourage us. They're here to spur us on. They're here to challenge us. They're here to jack us up sometimes. But they're His gift to us. And when we come in and we honor Him, honor them, we're ultimately honoring Him. I told y'all this Saturday night that we're honoring Him by saying thank you for this gift that you brought into my life. Thank you for this person that you brought into my life. And so as we continue to do that with each other, heaven will respond to that. Last Sunday morning, the thing that I want to strengthen and reiterate today is last Sunday morning as we came in, and it was so good. Just, it was a packed house. You know, Jeffrey came up to me before church and he says, "Man, you think we need to bring in extra chairs?" I'm like, "There ain't gonna be that many people here. And it ain't gonna be that many, you know, it's gonna be like a normal crowd, maybe plus 20 and all, but, just so full and so packed and just a good energy level. And I like those energy levels and all of that, but, did y'all notice as we were doing worship, last week, and we did a couple old school songs. And one of them was Trading My Sorrows, and I'm not hating on Daryl Evans because that's a tremendous song and we sang it thousands of times in this place, back in the day. And, just a tremendous, tremendous, you know, Trading My Sorrows and just so good and so good and all of that stuff. And we sang it Sunday and then we came in after that and we sang a couple of songs of where we are right now. Did y'all feel the difference as we did that? Did y'all feel it? Y'all recognized it? Amen. That's huge, because immediately I did. God's breath was on what we're doing right now. And it excites me that y'all felt the same thing and recognized the same thing, and that should excite you, because you're hearing the shifts in the sounds of heaven. You're not hearing Pastor Sid or James or Nick or whoever getting up here, or Brett and saying, you know, "Man, this is what God's saying and this is what God's doing." That's awesome in itself. But when it gets really tremendous is when God comes in and God speaks to you and you feel things in your spirit and you hear things in your spirit and you say, "Man, this is the sound of heaven. This is the shift of heaven." Adam lived in such a proximity with God that the Word said that he could hear God walking through the garden. And that's an awesome place to be. And I want us to be in such a place to where we feel and hear and see the nuances of God. The shifts, the moves, the momentum. The fresh breath on this. And I shared a word with you last Sunday, and I want us just to spend just a few minutes on that today, because I think it was significant enough that I don't want us just to like, boom, it was a moment last week, and then we move on to something else. Because I think this is significant for our lives. In the text in Genesis 35, Jacob is coming into a place, and he has lived quite a journey, quite a story. He came in, he had his first real encounter with God at Bethel, and the story that we call Jacob's Ladder, and it was over 25 years prior to this. I think I said 16 years last Sunday. I was wrong. I got to looking at the timelines and the age of his children, and it was closer to 30 years later. He comes into a place, and things have kind of gotten sideways. He's got this great history with God. God has come in and reconfirmed His covenant on a couple different occasions. He said, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'll be your God. I'll come in and I want to engage you. I want to be in relationship with you." And things have gone well for him. It's a lot like our life, guys. There have been successes and there's been failures. There's been high water marks and there's been low water marks. I mean, he's come in and he's done some tremendous things, and God has blessed him with a family. He has wives, he has sons, he has daughters, he has abundance. He and his brother have come to a place where their relationship is, I'm not going to say totally restored, but Esau doesn't hate him anymore and want to kill him anymore. So he's at a place where it's like, you know, things are moving along pretty nicely in my life, even though there's some ups and downs and I'm living in a foreign land, but things are okay. And he comes into this place and he moves and he buys some land and he begins to live in a place among the Hivites. And he's got a daughter and she goes out and she's visiting with the daughters of the king, if you will, of the Hivites and all of this stuff. And one of the princes, his son, I think his name was Shechem, he sees Dinah, and he rapes her. That's the text that we have, you know, and perhaps it was a different culture, perhaps it was seduction, perhaps it was just full force rape, or you know, it's a little bit unclear in the scripture. But anyway, he came in and he defiled her as a young virgin girl. And he was smitten with her, and he wanted to marry her. He's like, man, this chick's awesome, I love her, she's beautiful, I've had my eye on her ever since they moved in, and all of this stuff. So he goes to Jacob and he says, man, I want to marry your daughter. I want to marry your daughter. And her brothers, Jacob's sons, are all out in the fields with the flocks. And they don't know any of this is going down. So her dad, the king, if you will, of the Hivites, and I'm just giving you a history of this, he comes in and he meets with them, and the young man meets with them. The sons come in at this time, and they says, I want to marry your daughter, and I'll pay whatever dowry you ask. You just tell me what I owe, and I'll do it, man. I'll do anything. I want to marry this girl. And so they the brothers said, man, this ain't cool, you know, because of the way everything went down and all of this stuff. And so they come in and they say, well, it's not lawful for us to marry you or your daughters and all that, because the king says, hey man, I'll give you my daughters to marry, y'all give me your sons, and we'll just start, you know, we'll start intermingling and getting all this stuff going on, and we'll trade together, commerce, it'll be profitable and all of this stuff. And the brothers come in and they say, well, you know, we can't do this because y'all are uncircumcised. And so they tell them, they say, if y'all will circumcise yourself and become as we are, then we'll say yes to this and we'll agree to this. And so these people were so desirous, this young prince to marry this young lady, that they all did that. And they came in and they were all circumcised. All the men in the city were circumcised and all this. And the word says that on the third day that they came in, the sons of Jacob came in when all of the men were sore and unable to fight and all of that stuff. And they killed every one of them. Joseph, they wiped out the whole town. You know, and it was like, vengeance is ours. You know, an eye for an eye, you defiled our sister, and so, you know, payback. And so they did, they come in and they wiped them out, killed every one of them, every one of the males, killed them all, took all the substance and all this stuff. And Jacob comes up to his sons, and he's in a place to where all of a sudden immediately he's fearful. And so that's where we are in this story. Things have kind of gotten sideways in his life. And you can say what you want to about them coming in and retaliating and how they did it and all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, he's sitting here, and even though he is a great man, he's one family. And he has a certain amount of sons, and he has a certain amount of trained servants, but he's still one family surrounded by all of these peoples. And the natural thing would be for all of these surrounding towns and villages and all this to come in and say, man, we got, these people are not safe to be around us. We need to eradicate them. We need to kill them. And Jacob was fearful of this. And so that's where I want to pick up in Scripture. Everybody got the backstory on this? In verse 30 of chapter 34, Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you trouble me. That's his sons. You've troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? You know, I don't see any remorse there with them. They're like, hey man, we did it to them, we can do it to somebody else if they come against us. But Jacob's in this place of fear. And then God comes in on the heels of this in chapter 35, and he says, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I'll make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Can I say one thing right here, just a kind of a parenthetical break? A lot of times you think God's word and God's promise over your life has been derailed. Because He spoke something years ago. And you reach this point of life where circumstances cause you to doubt that word. Circumstances will tell you, man, I screwed this up. I blew it. I failed in this area. Or those around me failed in this area. Jacob wasn't sitting here saying, man, I didn't go out and kill all them guys, but my sons did. A lot of times we feel like the people around us are messing up God's pursuit in our life. Messing up God's purpose in our life. Messing up God's plan in our life. That's the big thing in America now, the blame game. It's this keeping me down and this keeping me from being what I'm supposed to be, and this is suppressing me and this is oppressing me, and this and all of these different things. And so we want to blame all those around us. But God came in the heels of this thing. I keep saying things getting sideways. God comes in on the heels of this, Robin, and He says, hey, I am with you. Don't fear these nations around you. The Word says that the terror of the Lord was upon all of these cities around about them, so they didn't mess with them. God can be a shield for us. God can be a protection. If God spoke the Word, God is able to uphold the Word. If God spoke the Word, He's able to keep the Word. If God is desiring relationship, He will keep showing up in the garden even after we sin. Don't forget that, guys. Because we think bad circumstances or bad choices or bad people have the ability to derail what God has designed for our life. And I want to tell you, that's not the case, guys. That is not the case. So continue to sow, continue to invest, continue to be who you are and what God called you to be. This whole thing, man, I keep having this conversation with people, this whole thing of this journey that we're on, and I said it Saturday night, we're not doing any kind of a noble thing, and she's not doing any kind of a noble thing, he's not doing any kind of a noble thing. It's just who we are. It's God's people. It's just who we are. It's just who we are, and so that's naturally what we do. It's our DNA. And that's God, all God wants us to do. And God had to remind him, and it says, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Now, I want you to notice one thing in this. I'll do just a little bit of teaching this morning. I want you to notice one thing in this. As Jacob is getting ready to go to this place, this predetermined place where he had had encounters with God before, and God said, I want you to go back to this place. He said, man, I got to clean myself up. I can't go looking like this. I can't go being like this. And so he went to all the people that were affiliated with him. His sons, his daughter-in-laws, his servants, his grandchildren, everybody that's affiliated with him. And he says, guys, we've got to put away all of these idols. Y'all know what the earrings represented in these pagan cultures? They would wear these certain type earrings and all of that stuff, and they were supposedly there to keep evil spirits away from them. He's like, man, you got God on your side. You don't need this junk. You don't need all of this crap, all this superstition, and all of this stuff that you feel like makes you fit in with society and culture and all of this. So he said, let's bury this stuff, let's get rid of this stuff, and let's come before God honest and clean. And they couldn't hide the holes in their ears. You know, you can go up to guys now and you can tell who's had earrings and who hadn't. Because they got the little piercing holes that don't ever all the way grow back. And that's okay. So, but we come in and we can't hide this stuff of what we were or where we've been or how we got sideways with God. And God says, I see you as you are and I still say yes to you. So he put the tail around all of these villages. God will protect you. God will protect you. The devourer will be rebuked. Quit living in fear over your children. Quit living in fear over your grandchildren. I mean, we could wig out and we could run around in fear our whole life worrying about, oh my gosh, this world that my grandkids are coming up in. I don't worry about that. Smart. I mean, when Lori goes walk, she likes to walk. When she goes walk, she's packing. You know? Joseph, she's out walking down, you know, Mac Adams Road, and she's got a 40 strapped to her. You know, and the school bus will pull up, and there's this woman walking down there with a 40, you know, and they're like, oh, okay, we better move on down the road. So we're smart, but we don't live in a place of fear. We don't live in a place of worry. We don't live in a place of uncertainty because God's got this thing. He says, I'm going to finish what I start. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for you. And we worry about Him coming in and our businesses. Him coming in and us failing in business and us failing in life and us taking our resources and all this. And God says, man, I've got a covering. I've got a hedge about you. Just come to me like you are. Come to me in an honest heart. Come to me in a pure heart. I love always having these conversations with the guys at the Blake House. You know, man, Wednesday night, just sitting down and just talking with them and communicating with them. We had our Christmas dinner, our Thanksgiving dinner Wednesday night, and it's just always so good. And they come in and say, man, I just, you know, we love y'all and we love you and all of this stuff because it just so, you know, we go to a lot of places and they're slick, but y'all just, man, y'all just love us. I'm like, man, we just got to keep it real. You just got to keep it real, and this is who we are, and this is where you guys are, and this is what God's doing and desires to do in all of us. You know? I love just the raw honesty, Brandon. I mean, I love that, brother. You know? We're sitting here and man, I know you just wanting to sit there and be pounding some woodies this morning, brother. I get it. I get it. But you said, man, I've got this desire and I want to be in, I don't want to miss God's house. I want to be sitting here right with my wife. And I promise you, He'll redeem the time for us. I promise you, He'll redeem the time for us. We feel like we're giving up all this stuff, and He will redeem the time for us. So they come in and they consecrate themselves, and they say, I got to get my act together as much as possible. I've got to clean myself up. I've got to consecrate us. We got to put away the things that we can put away. You're never going to be able to totally cleanse yourself, but there are things you can put away. All right? That's a good word for you right there. You can never totally cleanse yourself, but there are things that you can put away. And some of these things are sin, and some of these things are just childish and immature things. Apostle Paul talks about that. He says, I when I was a child, I did childish things, but when I became a man, I put away the childish things. And I started being the man God called me to be. And I started pursuing God the way He called me to pursue Him. And so we come in and we see this with Jacob, and he instructs his people to do this. And God's response to that is, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And then in verse 9 it says, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram, and he blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he taught with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he taught with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. The word that God really stirred in me last Sunday is we all felt this shift and we all felt this fresh breath of God on the now and on the where we are right now. Is that we come in and we want to go to these old places. The Darrell Evans, Trading My Sorrows, and like I said, no offense to Darrell Evans, tremendous, tremendous song and was huge in us in the season of our life. But the thing that God is breathing on is the right now. And we tend to go back to these places where we've had these amazing encounters with God and not just let them be memorials and revisit them, but we want them to come back and be the identifying marks in our life. And I want to tell you something. You know what she needs? She doesn't need the man that I was 20 years ago, or the man that I was 30 years ago, or the man that I was when I accepted Jesus and answered the call to preach and all that stuff. She needs the man that I'm supposed to be right now. And that is what God is going to breathe His fresh breath on. Notice when Jacob went back to Bethel, he didn't go back and get the old altar and dust it off and say, man, here's these rocks and all of that and put things back together and all of this stuff and say, oh man, I remember the day and I had the all of this and come in and spruce it up and build it up and all of this. It said that he came in and it said that he built another altar. He built a new altar. And he poured a drink out, offering out on it. And then he anointed it with fresh oil. And God was really, really strong pressing on me to release to you guys in this house that these old places are great. These old places and experiences that we have had are fantastic. But that is not where we're going to find the fresh breath of God. We're going to find the fresh breath of God where we are right now. Because I see people yearning for the past and lamenting over the past and where they are now because of perhaps failures, perhaps of aging. I mean, I could look at me, man, and I'm 56, guys, and I can't do like I used to do, okay? I mean, I'm still young and all of that stuff. I feel like in my mind I am anyway, and I try to do a lot of stuff and all that. But Kenny, at the end of the day, you know, I was getting out of the floor the other night, and one of the girls was like, "My gosh, you sound like a bear coming out of hibernation, just trying to get out of the floor." And I'm like, "Well, one day you'll know, you know." But I could sit here and I could say, at least I got out of the floor, amen. I could sit here and I could say, man, I'm getting older and I'm bald headed and I'm gaining weight. And I got all of the, you know, this and this and all that stuff. And I can say life's passing me by and all of this and all. Or I can celebrate where I am right now. I was standing down here a while ago and I was talking with Paul before the service. And I was overwhelmed with the feeling because I looked over here and I saw my wife sitting over here with my goddaughter Emily. And two of my grandchildren were there and just engaged in just joyful conversation. I look out this window and Lee and Brett are walking in with one of my other granddaughters and I just overwhelmed with just such a presence of God. And I looked at Paul and I said, man, I feel like I'm the most blessed man on the planet. And Errol and her crew aren't even here today. And then I look out on all of you guys and I'm like, man, I don't want to go back to being 25. I don't want to go back to be 30. I don't want to be going back to Williams Creek in over in Hamilton, Alabama. I mean, that's cool, and I'm glad God's doing stuff, but that's not where I'm at right now. I don't want to go back to all the revivals that we've experienced here. I don't want to go back to all the things that used to just were huge moments in my life and go back other than look fondly on those things. But I want God to be fresh right now. I want God to be real right now. I want my relationship with Him to be vibrant right now. I want a soul right now. I took the morning off from hunting yesterday and I went with Lori down to Bennett Farms over in Alabama. You know, and carried the grandkids and went down there and they were doing their thing and all that stuff. You know, and it was cool, neat, and beautiful day and all that. And, you know, so we were out walking around looking at all of the stuff and everything. And there was a field of dried up flowers. And there were rows in it. And somebody said, man, you ought to saw it when all these things were beautiful. It was just so gorgeous. And maybe some of you guys saw it on the school field trip. They go down there and they go through the pumpkin patch and, you know, and they take pictures and all that stuff. And but there's this field of all these wildflowers. And they said these things were extraordinary in their beauty this year. But you know what I saw? I just saw a field of dead stuff. And we have to come in, but you know what I did see? I saw leaves that were yellow and red as the fall was turning and all of that stuff. And I could sit there and I could look and long for a day when flowers are blooming, or I could look at where I am right now and I could feel the freshness of a November afternoon, and I could feel the north breeze that was blowing through and see the leaves turning and feel the crispness in the air and the excitement of the holidays and all of that stuff. And it would be, I would be amiss if I longed for something that I missed over something that I had in front of me right now. And so he comes back in and he builds a fresh altar right in this glorious place. He builds a fresh altar. I hope everybody that was here last week that they were so moved by God that when they went back to wherever they are right now in life, they went back with the purpose, I'm going to build a fresh altar right now. I celebrated what has happened in my life, but I need to build a fresh altar for right now. I need to build something new for right now. I need to encounter and engage God right now. That's what His fresh breath is on. That's what His breath is on. God breathed into Adam so Adam would exhale into the earth. He breathed into him so he would exhale into the earth. He breathed on the apostles in John chapter 20 as he was about to ascend into heaven. He breathed on them before Pentecost so they would exhale in the earth. But it has to be fresh breath. It has to be fresh oil. It has to be new wine in our life. So I simply just want to re-come in and just re-strengthen this word in us. That as we come in, Sharon, I'm not saying that we just celebrate the now, but we let the now be so significant in our life that it's a launching pad for the next norm. The new norm. We talk about having to do a new normal in life. As we get older, we do new normals in life. But these things are not a thing to where we say, God, man, my life's gone and it's over and all this stuff. But the Word says His mercies are new every morning. They're fresh every day. And I want His fresh breath breathed on us. I want His fresh breath breathed on us. Those of you that were here at Trail of Treats, we were down there in the woods and it was just a glorious evening and we had just so many. God, man, there was like between 600 and 800 people that came through that night. It was just crazy. And all the people and all that stuff. And I told this with some of you guys. I was sitting down there doing our little, booth that we do with the candy for the kids and the stuff and all that. And I felt a distinct shift in the heavenlies. Something shifted. And I'm still trying to wade through it and figure out what it was and asking God, say, God, give me revelation on what this is. But I felt a shift. And I talked to some other people and they said, man, I felt the same thing. I felt the same thing. I felt a shift that night. And God's given me some clues and I'm not going to release that yet. But I felt a distinct shift in that night. Linda sent me an email this week and she said, I believe I'm feeling in my spirit that as a response, heaven's response to us coming in and properly honoring you guys and properly honoring each other, that it's as if we have received a promotion from heaven. That was an email she sent this week. And let me give you a correct definition of promotion. A correct definition of promotion is simply new levels of access. It doesn't mean I got I got all this authority, now I'm gonna go out and kick rear and take names and all that. And set all y'all straight. And put the demonic forces on edge and all that. Promotion is new levels of access. Part of what you felt last week, when y'all noticed the distinct difference in singing Trading My Sorrows and one of the new songs that James or Tyler or somebody led in last week, where we are right now, as you noticed the distinct difference that, and you felt that difference, you know what that was? That was a new level of access. You were hearing something. God allowed you to hear and feel something that perhaps 2 months ago, you did not have permission to hear and feel. And as we come in and we embrace the right now, when we build fresh altars in our life right now and new beginnings in our life right now, and it might be back geographically at the same place. Some of you guys are going to be here for life. Robin, I really feel like I'm going to be shocked and really hurt and disappointed if you and I are not hooked up for life. I really feel like you're connected with our family for life. And I don't feel like we're going anywhere and you're going anywhere or anything like that and everything. So geographically, and people, it may look the same, but as we come in and we build new altars in familiar places. Isaac came in and Isaac was a well digger in a season of his life. And he redug wells that Abraham had previously dug and had been filled in by the Canaanites. You said, well, there you go, Sid. He's going back and redigging old wells, but new water filled those old wells. So maybe as you come in and you build these new altars that I'm talking about this morning, maybe these new altars are familiar things like devotion, like worship, like compassion, like generosity, like sowing into a strange land. So they may be old wells, if you will, but they're new water that are coming into them because you're digging out and digging afresh and digging new. He did not change. Bethel was still Bethel. He simply built a new altar besides the old altar. And he said, this is the God of 28 years ago, and this is the God right now. And He's the same. He's the same. But I'm in a different place and I'm a different man. So God, breathe on me. Release fresh on me. I love the fact that He released a drink offering to the Lord. You know what a drink offering is? There ain't no taking it back. Once it's spilled, once that egg's cracked, there ain't no putting it back together, okay? And that was the type of offering that He poured on this here. Because He said, man, this is it. There's no taking this back. There's no taking this back. And so He came into this familiar place, but He built a fresh altar. And I believe a lot of you guys, man, you're coming in and you're like, man, is my season over here or over there or over wherever? And perhaps it is. I've had those seasonal shifts, but I believe that there are people that I'm supposed to be connected with for life. I believe there are places I'm supposed to be connected with in life. I'm not, you know, for years, Lori and I are like, God, how do we get out of Bremen, Georgia? I don't, you know, man, this is just not our vibe. This ain't us. You know, we're built to be, you know, from Montana. That's where we're supposed to be from. You know, that's just who we are. And God said, you are where I planted you, and I planted you in Bremen, Georgia. And so we've had to come back in and remarry ourselves to this land. And as we remarry ourselves to this geographic place and sow into what we deem as a strange land, then you know what it is? It's we see harvest. And we see fruitfulness. And so I'm not trying to figure out how to get out of this place. Now I'm figuring out how can I get more invested in this place. I'm sitting here trying to figure out how I can expand my farm and buy more land around it. I'm eyeballing properties right now. You know, I'm like, man, I'm gonna own that one day. I'm already claiming, my neighbors don't know it, I'm already claiming some lands around me. And my grandchildren are going to build on that, and my cattle are going to run on that, and God's going to, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Because I said, you know what, God? I'm not just a herdsman through here. I'm sowing into this. And so I want to challenge you guys to come in and build new altars and don't get hung up in the thing. I had a conversation with a guy the other day, and I'm going to close with this. I'll be pretty brief, you know, comparatively for me. I had a conversation with a guy the other day, and everything that he was wanting to talk about was stuff that was either going on in somebody else's life or stuff that had happened 20 years ago. And I wanted to say, brother, tell me what God's doing in your life right now. What's God doing in your life right now? Because I want to tell you what He's doing in my life right now. And if you were like, man, come on, man, you bragging and all this, you in a good spot and everything. Man, I am. I'm bragging on Him and what He's doing. This is where I'm at right now. And I wanted to say, brother, where are you? That's one thing I love about Emily's mom and dad, Bruce and Jen, is whenever they come in, they ain't no casual conversation when they show up. You'll get that big hug and all that. And the first time you sit down at the table in the house and all that, say, so tell me what God's doing in your life right now. Ain't no escaping it. Y'all know what? Have y'all had that conversation? Many times, haven't you? But it's the raw reality, and it puts you in the spot and say, is God doing something in my life right now? And if He is, tremendous. But if He's not, say, God, I want to build a new altar or dig a new well right here. Because redigging those old wells with Isaac, you know what those produce? They produce new wells. Because He redug the ones that his father had dug, but then He started digging new wells. And He kept digging, and you know what He ultimately hit? He ultimately did Rehoboth. I love that name. Ain't got nothing to do with the church in Tallapoosa. I love that name. You know what it means in Genesis? It says, God has made room for us, and now we'll be fruitful. And if you keep digging wells, and you keep building new altars, you know what you're going to find? That God's made room for me, and I'm going to be fruitful. And it may look like generational, that it's not coming to pass at the moment, but it's, I see it. I see it. And he did that, and then he did the next one was Beersheba. These wells of encounter and these wells of blessing and these wells of a future that a nation would be birthed out of. And that's what this fresh breath will do, guys. The whole thing about Pentecost was God's fresh breath on a church that needed it. On a people that needed it. And that's what's going to take us into where God wants us to be. It's the fresh breath. So I just want to challenge you. I am so thankful that everybody in here, y'all felt that last Sunday. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful y'all felt that. You should be thrilled that you felt that. Brandon, you should be thrilled that you felt a push God wanted you to be here this morning. And I think the reason God, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, I'll be honest with you, y'all know what I'm going to be doing this time next week? I'm going to be shooting quail with Lori in South Georgia. And Nick's going to be preaching to y'all. And I'm cool with that, and God's cool with that. He's like, yeah, James and Aaron in the keys right now. And so these things are awesome. But the reason that He wanted you here this morning, because He wanted to speak a word about your ear. He wanted you to hear that word about your ear. He wanted you to hear that word because He says, man, I know the details going on in your life. And I want to be actively engaged in your life, and I want to bless your life. I want to breathe on your life. And man, I don't know what all that's going to look like. It may look like, I got blessed with your kids serving at the CCC the other night. Man, it rocked my world. An old Lincoln man over there just wearing out some turkey and dressing on the plates, you know. An old 4-year-old Lincoln, and he's serving people coming through for meals. And I'm digging it, you know. And yeah, he was playing in it a little bit too, and I didn't even rebuke him. I was like, I love that servant spirit. You know, that Matt and Michelle were like, man, we're going to teach y'all to serve. We want y'all to know that we have a responsibility to serve. And so, man, I saw y'all's grandkids. I know you were in the back doing your thing, but man, I saw y'all's grandkids just running around and just serving and saying, what can I do to help? Let me jump in right here. Let me jump in right here. Let me jump in right here. And I want God's fresh breath on me because I don't want to miss the place of a 4-year-old getting something significant from God. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. That's tremendous. And you know what that is? That's God's fresh breath. And we go back to 20 years ago, and 20 years ago was great, but she wasn't here 20 years ago. And he wasn't here 20 years ago. You barely were. That's what I want us to grasp, guys. Is God has got fresh breath. He wants to breathe on us right now. But He breathes into us so we can exhale into the world. He breathes into us not so we can say, oh man, that's glorious. Let me hold my breath as long as I can. Because the only way you're going to get new breath breathed into you is when you exhale. And as I exhale and as I sow, fresh breath comes in. So it works. And it becomes natural to where you don't, none of y'all are thinking right now, I've got to breathe. It's just naturally what you do. It's naturally what you do. Actually, you went to the Georgia game yesterday. First time you've been down there, Eric says, man, I'm asking, are you going hunting? No, I'm carrying the girls to the Georgia game. Good call, brother. They wasn't moving anyway. I didn't say nothing yesterday. It's a good call. But you went down there, and if you go again next week, and you go next year, and you go 10 years from now, you're going to sense and feel and see the same thing every time you go. Because that's just what SEC fans do. It's a natural thing, because man, that's who we are. We're just passionate about football and all this stuff. And that's just a cultural thing with us, okay? But my point is when you come in and you live a now kingdom life, then you're going to experience His mercies fresh every day. You're going to, as you exhale Him into the world, He's going to breathe fresh into you every day. And it's not going to be a thing that you've got to strive for. It's just going to come natural. It's just who you are. It's your DNA. One thing that's happened to you is you've come in and you've got adopted into this family. And I'm not just talking about this family. Is you've got adopted into this family and got adopted into kingdom family and all that stuff. You've got a new DNA. And you got a DNA as a daughter of Zion. You got a new DNA as His beloved. You got a new DNA as His chosen. You got a new DNA as a bride of Christ. And so now when you start walking in all these places, it's not something that you have to work at. It's not something that you have to work up. It's just who you are. So my thing to you is never forget who you are and just live in the moment of who you are. And God will meet you there every day. And it's just sow and let's just release. It's not hard. We come in and we talk about how hard this kingdom life is. Kingdom life's not hard, guys. And people look at me like I'm crazy when I say that. It's not hard for me to breathe. It's not hard for me to eat. It's not hard for me to do what my body tells me. My bodily functions tell me that I have to. It's the way God made me. And that is the thing about us. I don't want it to be hard for her. I want it to be naturally who she is. And then she comes up and all she knows is the presence of the kingdom. And all she knows is God's presence. And God's speaking to mama and God's speaking to daddy. And I come in as a 4-year-old and it's awesome because I get to go and I get to serve people that are in need. And if it's making 400 cups of ice, or 400 plates, or Lincoln sitting there, you know, playing and putting, he wasn't doing nothing nasty with it. He was just kind of working it real hard with that spoon. And I'm putting it on these plates for these people so they could go out and have a good chicken and dressing meal. And they come up and that's just naturally who I am. It's naturally what I do. That's what God wants to release us. But it's got to be fresh and it's got to be now. Don't bank on when I was a kid. It was so powerful. Bank on it was so powerful this morning. Just because God showed up. And I said yes to it. So that's just what I wanted to release over y'all this morning, okay? Y'all noticed it last week. You felt it nearly everyone at Ross. I'm sorry you weren't here last week. But everybody felt it last week. Y'all know. Y'all know what I'm talking about that. And that's tremendous. That's tremendous. Because you can tell the difference in old breath and new breath. You can tell the difference in old breath and new breath. And new breath's where it's at. That's God's kiss on it, guys. New breath is God's kiss on it. Let's stand to our feet.